Our text tonight is taken from Matthew 1, which is fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. So let's begin by turning to Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14 is a very familiar verse, but let's read some of the surrounding context. And then we'll turn to Matthew 1. So let's begin with Isaiah 7, reading the first 16 verses. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. And his heart was moved in the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. And said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Shear-Jashub, thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field. And say unto him, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it, either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. For before the child shall know to refuse the evil and to choose the good, the land that thou abhorrest shall be forsaken of both her kings. Now let's turn to Matthew 1. Matthew 1, 18 through the end of the chapter. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Thus far we read the divinely inspired sacred scripture this evening. The text for the sermon is the second half of verse 23. And by the way, I did confirm with your pastor that he was not planning on preaching this season or on Christmas Day. Verse 23, the second half, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to one statistical count, there are 783,137 words in the King James Bible. And tonight the sermon is on one of those words. The Bible is so rich that we can preach a sermon on one word. The word tonight is Emmanuel, the name of our Savior. In the Old Testament, Isaiah 7:14, it is spelled with the letter I, Emmanuel. And here in the New Testament, in the text, it begins with the letter E, Emmanuel. There are two enormously significant doctrines in Matthew 1, verse 23, the doctrine of the virgin birth and the doctrine of the covenant as revealed in the name Emmanuel, God with us. We cannot possibly do justice to both of those significant concepts. So tonight, the text will be the second half of verse 23, and especially the name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, that's a very familiar word, a very familiar name, especially during the Advent season with the Christmas songs and cards, and we think of Joseph and Mary and Bethlehem and the manger and the shepherds and Emmanuel, our Savior. But what we want to learn tonight is that whenever we hear the name Emmanuel, we need to think of God's covenant. And we'll come to that in the sermon. Before we consider this name, we ought to take a moment to familiarize ourselves with the historical context in which we find our text tonight. The broad context concerns Joseph's discovery of the pregnancy of his betrothed wife. Mary was espoused or betrothed to Joseph, according to verse 18. And that does not mean that they were merely engaged as we think of engagements, but they were legally committed to each other. That's why Joseph is called husband in verse 19. With engagements, we would say, he is my fiancé. But with this betrothal, Joseph is actually already called husband. And in verse 20, Mary is called wife. Only they did not yet, according to verse 18, live together. Their relationship had not yet been consummated sexually. Joseph discovered that his betrothed wife, Mary, was pregnant, and he knew she was not pregnant with his child. Now a crisis for Joseph. According to Deuteronomy chapter 22, the unfaithfulness of a betrothed woman was grounds for death by stoning. Not only did Joseph not want Mary stoned, he did not want to make her a public example. He did not want her to have to bear any kind of public shame. So he did not want to seek out a lawsuit and get the judges involved and a public juridical procedure. So he was contemplating a way that he could very, very quietly hand her a bill of divorcement. And yet, because he loved her so much, he was reluctant to divorce her for her apparent adultery. He had lots of things going through his mind. What do I do? Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Don't be afraid. She has not been unfaithful. Take her. Live with her. The child in her womb has been conceived by the Holy Ghost. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's the broad context. The angel comes and addresses Joseph's concerns. And now the narrower context as we move into the text is that Matthew is now explaining by inspiration that Mary is a pregnant virgin, and this virgin pregnancy is the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, Isaiah 7, verse 14. We read that. Isaiah prophesied that when the Messiah comes, he would come by way of a virgin birth, and he would be called Emmanuel. So verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, that is the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with son and shall bring forth a son. And now the text, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. The name of the son would be Jesus. That's his personal name. My personal name is Brian. You have your personal name. And the Savior had a personal name. It was Jesus. If you would ask him, what is your name? He would say, Jesus. When he was growing up in Nazareth, people would call him Jesus. But he's the Messiah of God. And there is so much glory bound up in his person and work as the Son of God, that it's not possible that one name can reveal all of that glory. So God gives to him many different names to reveal who he is. And one of those names is Emmanuel. And that we consider this evening. Let's take that as our theme, Emmanuel. First, a covenant name. Second, comforting name. And third, confessed name. Emmanuel is a covenant name. Emmanuel means, according to the text, God with us. Emmanuel is a Hebrew word that's composed of three parts, Emma, Nu, El. Emma, with, new, us, El, God. Emma, new, El. With, us, God. Emmanuel, God with us. The essence of God's covenant is his relationship of friendship with his people in Jesus Christ. It is essentially God with us. That's the covenant. Already in the mother promise of Genesis 3, verse 15, God says of his people, you will not be with the serpent. You will not be with the seed of the serpent. You will be against the serpent because you will be with me, I am your God, and you are my people. To Abraham, Genesis 17, verse 7, God promised, I will be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Many generations later, through Ezekiel the prophet, chapter 36, verse 28, God promised, ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And then we go all the way to the very end of the Bible. John sees the new Jerusalem, and he heard from heaven, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So that all throughout the scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we have the covenant formula, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And that formula now is condensed into one word, one name, Emmanuel, God with us, a covenant name. God. Emmanuel means God, and then the rest. We begin with God. We must begin with God. All true religion begins with the fear of the living God. God is God. God is infinite. You can't comprehend that, and neither can I. God is infinite. God is incomprehensible in all of his majesty. God is self-sufficient. He doesn't need any one of us or anyone or anything. God is eternal. He has no beginning. He has no beginning. He has no end. And he's even exalted outside of time and above time. He is eternal. He is almighty. He created the whole world. Caesar, there in the days of Joseph and Mary, was on his throne in Rome, ruling over the vast Roman Empire. It was all upheld by the living God who governs all things, including the star that the wise men saw. God is almighty. God is holy in all of his works and ways. And he is completely devoted to himself as God. And he will punish those and destroy those who are against him. God is God and God alone. And Emmanuel means God. Emmanuel means God with us. Us. We are not what God is. Having looked up into the highest heavens to behold our God, now we look down into the dust. Us, men, creatures, finite, sinful. We read part of Matthew 1. If we keep reading all through the book of Matthew, we will see all kinds of illustrations of who we are as poor sinners. We're like spiritual lepers, so polluted in our sins and foul-smelling before the holy God. We are poor spiritual beggars, blind and destitute in our sins. We have no hope in this world of ourselves. We are lame in our sins so that we cannot walk in love for God. We cannot walk in love for each other. By nature, we're prone to hate each other. We're so full of cares. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? And then we live in worry and fear and anxiety and all of the lowliness and the sin. And the sinfulness is to be traced all the way back to our original sin in Adam. Our guilt in Adam, where we were in Adam, in the garden, with God, and we said, no, we don't want to be with God. We want to be with the serpent. Poor, lowly sinners. Us. Emmanuel means us. Emmanuel means, as a covenant name, God with us. With. This is the word that makes Emmanuel a covenant name. This is the word that signifies the closing of that great chasm between God and man, the Holy One in the sinner, so that God can be with man. Man can be with God. The grand reality of the covenant is not found in the name Emmanuel, in the word God. God is God, exalted in the highest heavens. It's not found in the word man. Man is man, down in the dust. But the covenant is revealed in the word with. God with us. God draws us unto Himself. God with us. Covenant name. Now, how can we not respond but by extolling God for the wonder of this revelation? What a wonder is Emmanuel, God with us. A wonder indeed, for it was only through the incarnation, through the miracle of a virgin birth, that there could be Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel does not mean God pictured to us. When Isaiah first gave this prophecy, as we read it in Isaiah chapter 7, the prophecy of the virgin born Emmanuel, it came as a sign to the wicked king Ahaz of Judah, who had made a league with Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria. Ahaz was afraid, so he went to Tiglath-Pileser of Assyria and said, "I am with you, and you are with me, wicked Ahaz in Judah." This sign first came to him, and it was judgment against him, but it was also a word of grace to the elect remnant in the land of Judah. It was a promise to God's people that Emmanuel would come as God with us, and thus bring the historical realization of the covenant relationship that for thousands of years had been experienced by the people of God in the Old Testament by way of pictures, types, shadows. Israel dwelt with God through pictures. God was the husband. Israel was the wife. And Israel lived with her God through pictures. She had a picture of Him in the Ark of the Covenant. She had a picture of Him in the cloud of glory. But we all know that as wonderful as pictures are, they are very nice, especially when you get family pictures from people during the Christmas season, a picture is of limited value. And all you have to do is ask a widow, and she will tell you that very quickly as she sits surrounded by the four walls of her quiet house, very quiet. And there on the wall might be a picture of her deceased husband. The picture is very nice, but it cannot begin to compare to having the person, her husband, the person in the room with her, to commune with her. In the old dispensation, Israel had pictures, many different wonderful pictures of Jehovah God, but only pictures of the one they loved. Pictures of the one who meant more to them than life. Only pictures, and they long for the day when God would come and dwell among them in a better way. Emmanuel does not mean God pictured to us. The wonder of grace that we celebrate this season and tonight is that Emmanuel means God with us, and God with us in the person, Jesus. Not a picture, a person. And that's the wonder. The babe that came out of Mary's womb and that she held, the babe who was wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in that manger, the babe whom Herod wanted to kill, the babe whom the shepherds came to see, the babe whom the wise men came to worship, that babe is God. God the second person of the Holy Trinity in visible human flesh. That babe is God the Son. In that babe, the fullness of the infinite, self-sufficient, eternal, almighty, glorious, holy Godhead, in that babe, the Godhead dwelt bodily. In the person of Jesus, the divine and the holy and the human nature are united. In the person Jesus, the creator and the creature come together. Emmanuel is God, God with us in human flesh. The wonder of the covenant name Emmanuel is that it reveals not yet the covenant fully consummated and perfected, that will come on the last day, but it reveals the historical realization of the covenant of grace through the miracle of the incarnation. God with us. When Mary held that little baby, she was not looking at a picture of her God. And when the shepherds came, they did not lay their eyes upon a picture of their God. And when the wise men came from afar to bring their gifts and to fall down and worship, they did not fall down and worship before a picture of their God. And Simeon did not say, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen a picture of thy salvation. Mary saw her God. The shepherds saw their God. The wise men fell down before their God. They saw God, the second person of the Holy Trinity in our flesh. God with us. With us. Miserable sinners. God with us. Emmanuel, right here with us. Come out of Mary's womb. Now walking on this earth, he was living in this sinful world, right with us, being tempted by the devil there in the wilderness, being nailed to that tree, right with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And that's the wonder. The wonder of the covenant of grace. The wonder of God's condescension. What if the high priest up in the temple of Jerusalem would take off all of his elaborate garments, he would put on some old rags and go out of the temple and down Mount Zion and out into the wilderness to live with some of the lepers? No priest ever did that. But what if the high priest would do that? What condescension that would be. What if the president, no one has ever done this, but what if the president of the United States would take off his finely pressed suit, put on some old flannel garments, and walk out of the White House and go into some of the outer region of Washington, D.C., into some abandoned old rail yard, and kind of crawl in the dirt underneath an abandoned semi-trailer and cozy up next to a homeless bum? No one's ever done that. That would be some condescension. But those are not wonders. This is a wonder that we celebrate, especially this season. The eternal God condescended in the second person of the Trinity into human flesh by a virgin birth to dwell among his church as a husband with his wife. That is condescension, and that is the wonder of grace. Emmanuel, God with us. Covenant name. Indeed, a comforting name. How comforting is it for us tonight that we belong to Emmanuel. First, the name Emmanuel is comforting for us in our sins. The name Emmanuel does not mean God against us. Would there be anyone who would dare to bring a charge against the living God if he revealed his Son and brought forth his Son into this world and named him God against us? The Son come as a destroyer and an avenger of sinners? That's a terrifying thought, but everyone deserves it. God against us. And to some men, the babe of Bethlehem is an avenger, is a destroyer. Although his name means God with us, his name does not mean God with all men. God is not with all men. God is against some men. Emmanuel is against some men. Old Simeon himself said, he is set for a sign which shall be spoken against. Some men are against Emmanuel, and they speak against him and his holy gospel, and Emmanuel is against them. But the great comfort is that though all men are sinners, and though God is against some men, God is not against us. His dear children, Emmanuel means God with us. And now consider what it meant for the Savior Emmanuel to bring us into communion with God so that we could be with God. What that took for Messiah. His name is God with us, but his name does not mean God with him. Oh, of course, God is with him. God is always with him and shall be with him. But his name does not mean God with him. And during his bitter suffering as the sin bearer who took all of the guilt and the shame of our sin, and especially during those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, he lost the experience of God with him. He didn't feel God the Father with him. He was abandoned and forsaken in wrath. And so he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Forsaken he was, making atonement for our sins. But in no other way could he be called Emmanuel, God with us. He had to be forsaken so that we might never be forsaken and can always say with assurance, Emmanuel, God is with us. So in the midst of all of our sorrows and when our conscience is burdened by the guilt of our sin and when we feel shame because of what we have done and maybe we are even falsely accused. We don't know. Was Mary falsely accused? Were people running around saying, speaking evil of Mary in her pregnancy? Maybe. We don't know. But maybe we've done nothing wrong and people are falsely accusing us. Whatever the sorrow may be, the guilt of our sin, the shame of our sin, the agony we may bear, we put our trust in Emmanuel and know that the Holy God is with us sinners, pardoning us, receiving us, purifying us, and delighting in us. We exclaim in adoration, Emmanuel, God with us. My God, why hast thou not forsaken us? We deserve to be forsaken forever because of our sins. But our Savior's name is Emmanuel, God with us. Comforting name. Secondly, there is comfort for us in this name in our fears and dangers. When those who hate us as God's true church and rise up against us and oppose us, then when There are attempts to destroy us. We do not say with wicked Ahaz, Tiglath-Pileser is with us. We do not say, the President of the United States is with us. The Supreme Court of the United States is with us. Reverend so-and-so is with us. We and our children say, Emmanuel, God with us. When great tribulation comes, as prophesied in the Scriptures, we will say, you wicked Caesars, you wicked Herods, you wicked men and women in all of your corruption and positions of authority, as you hate us and are against us and against our God and against the Holy Gospel and against the church, you are against us. But we say, Emmanuel, God is not against us. God is with us in the flame, in the dungeon, when there is prolonged starvation. We have, with that great cloud of witnesses who has gone before us, we have confidence in the name Emmanuel. No matter how hot the fire may be, no matter how overwhelming the waters may be that seek to drown us, we always say, Emmanuel, God is with us. And if the joy and the adoration and the gratitude was so great in these days, the dawn of the New Testament, when finally Emmanuel came and Simeon could hold the baby, the shepherds could come and see him, if the joy was so great then, when they first laid their eyes upon Emmanuel, the Messiah babe, then how much greater will the joy of the church be on the last day when amid all our sorrows and tribulations with uplifted head we see Him on the clouds of glory with all of His holy angels. Then, as we have never said before, we will say, Emmanuel, God with us. What a comforting name. If God be with us, who can be against us? Third, and finally, in the name Emmanuel, there is comfort for us in all of our afflictions. And those are many. When pain is with us, when constant, nagging, unrelenting, chronic pain is with us, so that we lie writhing in our bed of affliction, when pain is with us, so is Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, and even if we don't feel His presence with us, He is always with us. When we are hospitalized and drugs are with us and this apparatus and that apparatus and a ventilator and all kinds of tubes are with us, Emmanuel, God is with us. And when we stand alongside the bed of a dying loved one, Emmanuel, God is with us. And when the loved one dies and is no longer with us, and all we have left are pictures, then in grief we collapse and fall into the everlasting arms of Emmanuel, who is always God with us. The people of the covenant sin and sorrow and grieve and suffer, but no one has ever fallen into and been left forsaken in a bottomless pit of despair and hopelessness. No matter how low you get, child of God, how low you get, how forsaken and lonely and discouraged you feel, and it seems no one is with you. God Himself has forsaken you. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. How comforting to belong to God's covenant of grace and know Emmanuel as our Savior. Covenant name, comforting name, and now in conclusion, confessed name. Verse 23, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name. The virgin will call him Emmanuel. But Matthew says, by inspiration, and they shall call his name. Not only Mary, but all those who belong to God's covenant. And that extends all through the generations to you and me tonight. We're part of the they. They shall call his name Emmanuel. Jesus has a name, Emmanuel. That's one thing. There are many people who have a name. Everyone has a name. But some people have a name that is not named. They die in obscurity. I think, for example, of David's mother, Jesse's wife. Who is she? Who was she? What was her name? She had a name, but she's not named. Jesus has a name, Emmanuel, and his name is named. They shall call him. They shall confess him. They shall witness of him, Emmanuel. Matthew adds by inspiration in verse 23, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, probably everyone in Matthew's audience knew what Emmanuel meant, God with us. And thus, it would not have been necessary for Matthew to write these words for his immediate audience. However, the Holy Spirit adds this explanation so that we have which being interpreted is God with us, so that the meaning of the name can be explicitly written in the Scriptures, God with us. And then we can focus not so much on the eight-letter word, Emmanuel or Emmanuel, but we can focus on what the name means. And there it is explicitly written in the text, God with us. And then whether we call him Emmanuel or whether we call him Jesus or Lord or Christ or Son of Man or Son of God, we always understand of our Savior, he is God with us. Let us call him Emmanuel, God with us, by confessing his name. This is our necessary response. This is our duty in the covenant of grace. By the grace of God, this is our privilege to be able to stand in the world and call our Savior, Emmanuel, in worship, in song, in programs, if we're able to have programs in which we sing, in conversation, in everyday life, in our service in God's covenant, wherever we are in the world, we confess the name Emmanuel. For they shall call him Emmanuel. Whose name do you confess in and before the world? Maybe we could ask some ungodly neighbors in the neighborhood. There's the Christian family down the street. Whose name do they confess? And maybe the unbelieving family says, I don't know, I'd have to say Trump. I always hear them say Trump. Now, there's nothing wrong with a political yard sign or a little patriotism, but if the only name that the world ever hears being spoken by the people of the covenant is the name of a political figure, then something's wrong. The world needs to know this is the name that we name wherever we are. Emmanuel, Jesus, Savior, God with us, for his name shall be called. Not simply his name is Emmanuel, his name shall be called Emmanuel. Let us call him, confess him, witness of him. And we make our confession together. For his name doesn't mean God with me. That's true. It's very personal. God is with me and with you. But the covenant is not God's relationship with a number of isolated individuals. The covenant is God with his people as a body, his church. Emmanuel means God with us. So together, tonight in our worship, and as we continue, as long as the world endures, together let us call him Emmanuel and say, God with us. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we have been given so much. And when we enumerate all of the many, many blessings of the covenant that are ours, we always understand that what thou hast given to us is not merely many, many things and blessings, but thy own Son, thy only begotten, dearly beloved Son. How shall we render to thee, O God, all of our gratitude? We will praise thee and thank thee and confess thy name in the name of thy Son. Where we fail, we're very sorry. Where we are embarrassed by his name, we're very sorry. Where we are ashamed of his gospel, we are very sharp, very sorry. Heavenly Father, renew in us thy Holy Spirit, quicken in us a lively faith, that we may go forth not ashamed of our Savior, who is not ashamed of us, but who gave his life for us, that we might confess his name everywhere at all times to the glory of thy great name. In his name do we pray. Amen.